Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? I'm your host, Doris Hansen, and we are broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah, and this is a telephone call-in program. We would appreciate your phone calls or your comments. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. If you would prefer, you can email us your questions or your comments, and our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We want to welcome all of our viewers who are watching on streaming video. You can tell those who are outside of our viewing area that they can watch our show every Thursday night at this time. All they have to do is go to our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and click on the icon, and they are on there watching. Of course, all of our previous shows are still available on our website, whatloveisthis.tv. And we want to welcome again our viewers from the Boise, Idaho area who watch our show on Sunday afternoons on KCLP Channel 18 in the Boise, Nampa area. There is some very good information on our website, whatloveisthis.tv. There are links to other web pages. There are resources available, links to different resources. We have the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, and also the Bible study book, Is Polygamy Biblical? And there's information on our website about our support group. It's called Life After Polygamy. We meet once a month, and our next meeting is January 17th at 6:30 p.m. And if you know someone, or if you yourself have been touched by polygamy in any way, just grab a friend and come on down, and you're welcome to be in on our next meeting. We're sure that you'll enjoy it. And it's on January 17th at 6:30. Call us or email us if you want more information. And some of the links that you can link off to from our website, one of them is sacredgrovesonline.org. And if you or someone you know has a Mormon-based background of any kind, whether it's Mormon fundamentalism or Mormonism or one of the 200 offshoots from the Mormon Church, you might enjoy the information that is on that website, sacredgrovesonline.org. And if you're a truth seeker, an honest truth seeker, you'll find a lot of links to a lot of information. You can also link to our webpage, shieldandrefuge.org. That's the ministry of our outreach to the polygamists. And if you are in a polygamy group and you need help or just have questions, please call our toll-free hotline. The number is 877-425-9993. We offer you hope, we'll offer you help and a support system, and our focus is unashamedly on biblical truths. The polygamists and the early Mormon polygamists claim that God commanded polygamy for salvation, and that simply is not true. It wasn't true then, and it isn't true now. And our purpose is to encourage you to discover biblical truths for yourself. Don't trust someone else to tell you the truth. You are responsible to find it for yourself. You know, a person is only as good as his word. His character is determined by whether he can be trusted to honor his word or not. In Mark 13:31, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Can we trust Jesus to keep that word? And in Psalm 119:89, it says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." Can we trust God to keep His promise about His word? You know, God made many promises in the Bible that His word would always be here for us to refer to and to use and to trust and to rely upon. The Book of Mormon also claims that God's word would remain. But if God didn't keep His promise to us in the first place in the Bible, what makes you think He's going to keep His promise that He made about that in the Book of Mormon? If God failed the first time, you cannot trust Him not to fail again. But the truth is, God didn't fail the first time. He did preserve His truths throughout all generations, just like He promised. This, of course, brings us to the only possible conclusion. There was no gospel restoration because no restoration was needed because God keeps his promises. Jesus said, God's word is truth. Is that true? And tonight we're going to talk about truth because truth matters. Our guest for this important discussion is the pastor of Mill Creek Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah. He's from a totally different culture, and sadly, this culture has often judged him as being less worthy than themselves because they accuse him of coming from the line of Cain. I'd like to introduce and welcome our guest tonight, a godly, devoted man of God who works daily with the Word of God with integrity, Pastor Dan Monatella. Thank you, Dan, for coming.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's nice to have you here. We got lots of good stuff tonight.
We got lots of good stuff.
Sit on the edge of your seat because we're going to take you for a ride. You know, many of our viewers may have gasped at the way I introduced you, but you've had the prejudices of this culture jabbed at you mercilessly at times.
Absolutely.
Since you've been. You want to share?
Absolutely. Three times, actually. And this one occasion, a man came to me. In fact, I visited his house, and I was talking to him about Jesus. And I said, you know, you're going to die, and I'm going to die. And you need to know the Lord. You need to know when you die that you're right with God. He says, you can't tell me about the Savior. I said, I'm telling you about the Savior. You need to know the Lord. And after a long talk, of course, he got frustrated. He says, I told you, you cannot tell me about the Savior. Look at you. And so at this point, I look at myself. I think, well, looks like I'm halfway decent. Then at this point, he says, don't you get it? You are a son of Cain. And I was so relieved. I said, wow, this man mixed me up with somebody else. I said, well, no, my dad is Edward. And so I proceeded to tell him, and anyway, he stormed out, he was mad. When I got to church, I told these people this wonderful visit I had, and they said, this is what it means to be a son of Cain. I said, what? I was so offended that I was cursed by God.
Yeah.
That's when I really started digging.
Yeah.
I had no clue, and I had just come out of the seminar. We don't study any of this stuff, and so except for the fact that, you know, they got extra biblical texts that they're reading. And so we don't pay attention to that. So
you didn't know before you came here that they had belief in the early Mormon church that the blacks were cursed by God.
Mm-mm.
That must have been quite a shock for you. Mm-hmm. I remember when that happened and how you told about that, and it just broke our hearts. Someone said that the most difficult person to convince of the truth is the person who thinks they already have it.
Yes.
And you have an awesome presentation, an outstanding presentation entitled Truth Matters. And that's why we've invited you tonight. Well, I want you to give that presentation to our viewers. It's such an awesome.
Absolutely. Tonight we're talking about that. When you read in the Bible, the Bible says, thy law is truth. Psalm 119:142. And then Jesus, when he prayed, he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your law is truth. And that's why we're talking about this tonight, because it is truth matters. If God said we're to be sanctified by the truth, then it matters. According to the Bible, Christians are supposed to be the light of the world. They're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And they're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. To promote biblical truth, that's what it means, promoting biblical truth. And in the book of Jude 3, the scripture reads as follows, contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all handed down to the saints. That's important. Biblical truth, once and for all handed down to the saints, not some substitute. Therefore, as Christians, contending for the faith is not an option. It's an obligation from God. Being quiet about the truth makes us good for nothing. And therefore, it's important. Truth is important, and truth matters.
So when we contend for the faith, like Jude tells us that we need to do, and we're accused of being anti-something, we're actually being pro-truth.
Absolutely.
Not anti-anything, pro-truth.
Absolutely. To contend for the faith is different. You are simply saying, this is what God said. This is the truth once and for all delivered to the saints, and this is what we're saying. You cannot oppose this. It's very important. It matters because it is a matter of life and death.
Eternal life and
eternal
death.
Eternal life. Yes, and eternal doom, if we may add. Eternal doom also. You know, Jesus warned us. He says, enter by the narrow way. He says, we're to enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, those words of Jesus is a serious warning. It means the truth is very, very important. We cannot just play games with it. It's very important. Regarding the Pharisees of his time, Jesus had said this. He says they are the blind guides leading the blind. And Jesus said, if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. That's serious stuff. Both of them will fall into a pit. Therefore, spiritual path, the spiritual path that you follow and I follow, has consequences, either good or bad. But there are consequences. It's a matter of life and death. At one point, Jesus was asked this question by Pilate, what is truth? And you find this in John 18:38. What is truth? Well, he did not know that Jesus had already given the answer. And the answer was in John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's very narrow.
So he was looking truth right in the face and didn't recognize it.
He did not even recognize it. So it's very important, therefore, as believers, to contend for the biblical truth.
Amen.
And that truth, there's something we know about the truth, though. Truth corresponds to an object. It corresponds to an object. It corresponds to reality, not some fables, not made-up stuff. And it's telling it like it is. Accurately expresses the actual state of affairs. That's what truth is. Yes. And for that matter, therefore, a true statement must of necessity match its object. If I said to you, this is a table, and I had this cup, and I said, this is a table, obviously that statement is wrong.
Right.
This does not match its own object.
But you can tell somebody from their childhood that is a table, and they're going to grow up believing it is.
Yes, until they find out not everybody takes this to be a table. Yeah. So it's very important to contend for the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. Now, Norman Geisler gave us some few principles, and he says the law of non-contradiction helps us in this. Opposite ideas cannot both be true at the same time and in the same way. If somebody says the earth is flat, and another says, well, the earth is round, both those two statements cannot both be right in the same way and in the same sense. One of them is not the truth.
But we see the perception there on the screen, that the earth is round, but when it's flattened out, you know, there's a perception of the truth will change.
There is a perception of the truth, absolutely.
But the truth itself doesn't change.
That's why the scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God.
Yes.
Because perceptions are often not correct. So we need to study. And it says to be approved unto God. And if those two statements are contradictory, in a similar way, religions with all their contradictions cannot all be true in the same way and in the same sense. It's just impossible. They cannot all be true.
You mentioned about Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
And no man comes to the Father except through me. So that is a statement, Jesus is the truth.
Yes.
Brigham Young claimed that, in fact, I've got the quote right here, that no man or woman in this dispensation will enter into the celestial kingdom of God without the consent of Joseph Smith. So there's a contradiction. It's either through Jesus, or it's through what Brigham Young said about Joseph Smith.
Absolutely.
That's a contradictory statement. They can't both be true.
They cannot both be true. And the most important thing would then be who rose from the grave.
Good point.
And who ascended on high.
Yeah.
At daytime, with more than 500 people looking at him ascending unto heaven, and angels testifying and saying, this same Jesus will come back in the same way.
Amen. That's great.
If Joseph Smith had done that, there would have been a contradiction that would give us a fight, but there's absolutely no fight with that. Jesus is the Lord
He's
of
the
Lords and the King
of
Kings.
Right.
Yeah. There are 8 points that I'd like to mention when I'm talking about the truth. And we are talking here about biblical truth. 8 points. Again, these are gleaned from Norman Geisler. He's a good man. All truth claims are absolute, narrow, and exclusive. Even the claim that every religion is true excludes the opposite. That's important.
Right.
Truth exists independent of anyone's knowledge of it. If somebody doesn't know about gravity, let him not jump off from the roof of a building. They find out it exists, you see.
Yeah.
And all those truth claims have to be, you know, I remember one time, long time ago in England, and here in America, John Shoup told me about this when he was a boy. They used to cook vegetables and pour out the broth and eat the rest of the stuff. And they had health problems, serious health problems. They did not know that the nutrients are in the broth. They had just washed all the nutrients out until somebody discovered that. That's very important because truth exists independent of your knowledge of it.
Right.
The nutrients were still in the broth.
Mm-hmm.
So
if the truth is in the Bible, whether we acknowledge it or not, it's still there.
It's still in the Bible.
Whether we like it or not.
Yes. And if Jesus is the only way, he's still the only way, whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
Now, point number three, being raised in a given culture doesn't make the beliefs of that culture true. That's an important one.
Whoa, that's important,
yes.
Isn't it?
Simply because you're raised in Africa doesn't make the truth different. For instance, somebody who was raised in Nazi Germany, that doesn't mean that Nazism was true.
Right.
It doesn't make it true, simply because he's raised in Germany. Truth is not affected by that whatsoever. And point number four, truth is not affected by the attitude of the one possessing it. What do I mean by that? If a Christian is cantankerous, and he's nasty, and he says Jesus is Lord, well, it doesn't nullify the fact that Jesus is Lord,
right.
You see. So it is not affected by the attitude of the one possessing it whatsoever. Number five, the fifth point that I'd like to make is this. The truth about truth, number five, beliefs cannot change a fact, no matter how sincerely they are held. Beliefs cannot change a fact, no matter how sincerely they are held.
You know, I think about that often, again, with this culture, how they believe so strongly. Their parents did, their grandparents did, and it goes clear back to the beginning that what they're doing is true, and they'll give a testimony. I believe, I know, but they don't know because they haven't critically investigated.
Mm-hmm.
They just think they know. They don't know.
Right.
They know.
And they're in a more difficult position because they shout out whatever insight they might glean. Truth is not afraid of error.
Right.
So if somebody says,
check. It's not afraid of investigation.
Exactly. You can check things out. That's why the scripture says, come, let us reason together. Study to show yourself approved. It doesn't matter what error is. Truth always prevails.
Right.
Absolutely. And point number, I don't know where I was, number five here. Beliefs cannot change a fact, no matter how sincerely they are held. And let me just, on that part, point out that Amelia Earhart, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
She was flying over the Atlantic to come back here. No, the Pacific, to come back home. And they sincerely thought that they were coming to America. The instruments are set. They are sincere about where they're going, the direction and everything. After all, there's no more land under them until they hit this one island where gasoline was stored for them, or jet fuel. Well, when they got to where they supposed was an island, there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked, and they circled, and then looked, and they perished in the Pacific. Why? Because they were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. Right. And it matters because they died and perished. Truth matters. It's a matter of life and death. You can't play games with that.
You know, that reminds mm-hmm. me of an analogy someone said, that if you're just 1 degree off of your point with your yes. compass, just 1 degree, and you're going to go these thousands of miles, mm-hmm. when you get to your destination, you're not 1 degree off, you're way
yes.
off. And if you start your mm-hmm. your life with even one wrong, if you have the mm-hmm. wrong God, the wrong doctrine of God, or the wrong doctrine of salvation, you're wrong enough to lose for eternity.
Yes, if you have the wrong Jesus, who did not arise from the grave, who had a beginning somewhere, and this is not the biblical Jesus, who had no beginning. Jesus had no beginning. He right. was not created. He exists uncreated.
Right.
And once you have the wrong Jesus will not lead you to a safe haven. That's exactly what it is. So truth is important. It is transcultural. Point number six, I got only 7 points here. Truth is transcultural. 2 plus 2 plus 3, 2 plus 2 is 4. It's the same here. It's the same in Taiwan. It's the same in Africa. So it doesn't matter. Well, to say that Jesus is the only way, he's the only way here, he's the only way in Africa, he's the only way everywhere else, because he's the only way.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's
it's transcultural.
Good deal.
And point number nine that I wanted to make was that the feelings cannot substitute for objective truth. This is important. Feelings cannot substitute for objective truth. Just because you feel good about something doesn't make it true. You can feel good all you want. You know, I mean, Amelia Earhart, they felt good that they were coming close to home until mm-hmm. they plunged and perished in the middle of an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, consensus. Point number eight is that consensus does not change facts about truth. Just because many people believe something doesn't make it true.
That's right.
If you say, well, we are increasing in our church, we are many, now we are these many millions, what does it prove? Jesus says, the wide way that's leading to destruction, he says, many people are going by that. So consensus means absolutely nothing.
Right.
We have to find our moorings and our anchor in the Bible, the Word of God.
That's the only solid, trustworthy.
That's the only
that's survived the ages.
Ages and all the probes and all the attacks that it had had, and
mm-hmm.
it has this something that no other religion has. And that is because it's not a religion; it's a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and the element of prophecy. You know, Jesus would be born in Bethlehem 700 years before it occurs, and it happens.
And it happened.
And so things like that upholds the biblical truth, and that's what we're contending for.
Mm-hmm.
We do not hate anyone by saying this. We're simply aware that people are getting lost and have been deceived. In summary, let me make two statements. Contrary beliefs are possible, but contrary truths are not possible. You can't have two things that are both true, but they are contradicting to one another on the same subject in the same way. We can believe everything is true, but we cannot make...
But that doesn't make it true.
It doesn't make it true.
And one example I'd like to use on this is mm-hmm. is the culture believes that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers.
Oh, brother. My goodness.
But the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things created, and
yes.
Lucifer is created. So both of those can't be true.
They cannot be true. Lucifer is a created being by the Almighty God. And God had no beginning. Lucifer had a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says, from the day that you were created. So he was a created being. You don't find this about Jesus. He always existed from everlasting to everlasting.
Another contradiction that comes to my mind is the mm-hmm. the Garden of Gethsemane. They this culture claims that that's where the atonement took place, with the bleeding from the pores. But that can't be true if Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
Yes. It says that he was justified through his blood. On the cross.
On the cross.
Yes.
Right.
So the cross is where everything took place. And that's why Jesus says, it is finished. Yes,
mm-hmm.
it is finished. Everything pertaining to the law and the requirements of the justice of God had been accomplished on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It is finished. Absolutely. Now, some people are committed to their own way, Doris, than to the truth.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Winston Churchill, I like to mention the statement because I like it.
This
it says,
good.
men occasionally stumble over the truth, but some pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. That's what happens. People, you can tell them, this is Jesus, this is what it says in the Bible, this archaeological proof, but they just dust themselves, oh, I just believe this.
Yeah.
And I believe my church.
Yeah.
And don't believe the church. Don't even believe my church. Believe Jesus.
Right.
That's
absolutely
very important.
And that's what happened with Pilate,
yes,
when he looked at Jesus and said, what is truth?
What is truth?
Mm-hmm. And then it mm-hmm. reminds me of mm-hmm. in the Bible where it says that Jesus is the stumbling stone.
Yes.
And people stumble over the stumbling stone. They pick themselves up, brush themselves
yes.
off, and walk off as if nothing had happened.
And nothing has happened. He's a stumbling stone. He's a rock of offense. Each mm-hmm. time you say Jesus is the only way, people are offended.
Right.
You're simply quoting him.
Right.
They're mad at you, not mad at Jesus, when they should be mad at Jesus. Now, truth, really, like we said, truth matters. It is important. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal doom. It's a matter of eternal security. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely,
absolutely
very, very important. Now, people who are sincere, they can be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. You know, I have three examples here that are very important. And way back in 1978, November 18, Jim Jones, in fact, this man had started a group in San Diego. And interestingly, they called themselves the People's Temple. And they had moved from San Diego to Los Angeles. From Los Angeles, they went up to Guyana. And by his own choosing, this man that people believe he was sent of God, he was a man of God, that he spoke for God, he gave them poison, they drank, and they died. Hundreds and hundreds of people, 912 people died.
Yeah.
From a poison Kool-Aid. That's where the saying comes, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
That's right.
You know, people died. They believe he was a man of God. The only thing they didn't do, right, is they did not check the biblical standards of what a prophet is.
That's right.
And they just felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And after feeling good, they died.
And he spoke good and he looked good. And,
yes.
And all of that just brought the feelings up. And they didn't check it out, like
absolutely.
You said.
He felt good because when he was in Los Angeles, he was actually, you can see him with Jerry Brown, the governor back then, and with many other important politicians. But he led people to a very, very dismal end. They died by drinking a poison Kool-Aid, and he's the one that ordered mm-hmm. the killing of the people.
Right.
And you think that was enough? There's another man, David Koresh, 1993, April 19. People died outside in Waco, Texas. And many people died, and they died by fire. The whole place just exploded. Many people died, women, children. I mean, you think that he would have had a passion for the little children. They all died. They believed, you know what he was called? He was called the Prophet King, David Koresh, the Prophet King. And he had used some names. The name of the organization was called the Davidian.
Mm.
And then the little flag of the Star of David in here. I mean, it looks legit until they died by fire. And lastly, I want to point out, there's another group here called the Heaven's Gate. They believed that this man is leading them to heaven, and he had how people look like in heaven. They look like aliens. And one day a comet came, Hale Bob Comet, and they all committed suicide and they died, believing that their souls would be caught up to this thing. And we had sent a spaceship behind this thing to collect some samples. A simple comet. It had nothing to do with the space. But they died believing this man mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. leading them the right way. Finally, I just want to conclude with these two statements here. Jesus, that's why Jesus said this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And Jesus will tell them, depart from me, for I never knew you. Now notice, they prophesied, they cast out demons, they performed miracles, and yet they were removed from the very presence of God. Why? Because truth matters. It's mm-hmm. a matter of life and death.
Mm-hmm. Truth does matter. Now, I've had some of the Mormon missionaries come to my door in the past. It hasn't happened recently, but in the past. And they've used this verse to try and scare, I guess, non-Mormons into listening to them, thinking that using this verse means that anything that we're doing in our religion is something God will say, away from me, I never knew you. But isn't Jesus saying here, he doesn't know us? Isn't that talking about the personal relationship? I don't know you.
Absolutely. You may know about him, but he doesn't know you. There's no intimacy. There's no intimate relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's very dangerous. It's a matter of life and death. People are going to spend eternity in hell. Having believed and followed men, just like we saw in the other three examples, having believed that these men were men of God, believed that they were being led the right way, the right direction. That's why Jesus says, be careful how you listen or how you hear. If the blind are leading the blind, both of them, Jesus says, are going to end up in a ditch. Question is, where are you headed? Who's leading you? How do you know you're right? You got the right direction, you got the right leadership, you have the right doctrine. The scripture says test. Yes. To make you sure. Test yourself, make sure that you're in the faith.
Test your faith.
Yes.
Test the prophets.
Test the prophets.
Test your scripture.
Test your scripture.
Test the spirits.
Test the spirits. Those are the I tell you what, there's another sermon right there.
Test
the spirits. Spirits are deceptive. People who want to see things and hear voices from out the outer space or whatever, you know. Satan will make, spirits can materialize. And that doesn't mean it's the spirit of God. That's why God says test all spirits. Why? Because there are spirits who are not of God. So.
And he's given us guidelines in the Bible to protect us from this deception that they so want to perpetrate on mankind.
That's why those people drank the Kool-Aid. They forgot about the biblical guidelines. They followed a man just blindly, and they died by drinking a poison Kool-Aid that he fashioned for them. My goodness. What a tragedy.
Well, this has been very good. We're going to open up our phone lines now. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. Please keep on topic. If you have a question for myself or the pastor or a comment, we would appreciate hearing from you. And while we're waiting for the calls to come in, we have one call waiting right now, but I do have a question I want to ask you. What do you say when this culture will say that this is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Now, most polygamy groups also have the name Christ. Not all of them, but most of them have the name of Christ in their name. And they claim, well, his name's in the name of our church, so it has to be his church, so it has to be the right church. What do you have to say to them about that?
Well, first of all, David Koresh had people die through fire, and he, by the way, had taken some wives, as he was the only one who was eligible to be a polygamist in the group. And he used the name of Jehovah. He used the Star of David. The group was called the Davidian branch. It means absolutely nothing. There were many Jesuses in the time of Jesus.
It's the Hebrew word Joshua, isn't it?
Yeshua, yes. It's just a Hebrew name. That's why you read in the book of Acts of some by Jesus or son of Jesus. It just means nothing. We're talking about a person here. When we're talking about Jesus, we're not talking about a name or somebody who came from Kolob or some other far planet or Africa. It doesn't matter. It has to be one who created every planet that we see. Because God says, by the way, he says, I cast all the stars, I made the stars also. He cast the stars into place. I made the stars also. It's like a byword. He takes so many chapters to talk about the creation of man and everything. And then he says, by the way, I made the stars as well. That's the one we're talking about. Not one who came from a planet. And that's a different one altogether. And he's not leading you to salvation. If he did not arise from the grave, don't follow
That's right. Mm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's take a couple of phone calls here. We have on line one, we have Douglas from Salt Lake City. Hello, Douglas.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Very good, thank you. What's your question?
Well, I've grown up right here in Salt Lake City since I was 8 years old. And on my wife's family and my family, they all came across the plains with the pioneers, the Mormon pioneers. And I believe truly that Joseph Smith, that Oliver Cowdery, Sidney Rigdon, Brigham Young, these were men that had evil intentions. They were men who believed in polygamy, that it was the absolute necessity to be able to go to heaven.
That's right, they did.
And to be with our Father. Mm-hmm. And my two sons and I, as far as I know, are the only three who ever left the Mormon Church to become true, born again of the Spirit Christians. And so we've developed a great love for our Savior, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We know that we pray every day, we read the Bible every day, and we want our families and our loved ones and our ancestors who are, you know, they're shackled to Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to know the truth.
Yes, we do.
Many of the doctrines of the Mormon Church are very, very unbiblical.
Well, not many of them.
In our whole lives,
Douglas, not many of them, all of them.
In 10 years, we've worked to share with family, friends, relatives, co-workers, neighbors, everyone we ever knew and grew up with. We want to share with them.
Yes, we do. And that's
truth.
That's why we do the show, Douglas,
Jesus
so we can
Christ
share as well.
Savior and Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for your call. We appreciate your testimony.
Oh, I love you guys. God bless and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you, Douglas. Same to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night. Okay, we have Tina. And, you know, this is normal in the area where mm-hmm. someone like Douglas, he calls in frequently, mm-hmm. and he's got family that,
yes.
as I do, and as
yes.
most people that I know have family caught mm-hmm. up in the culture that
yes.
that I call a stranglehold,
mm-hmm.
where they just, it's a heartbreaker. It just breaks our hearts. Okay, line two, we have Tina from West Jordan. Hi, Tina.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You're on the air
I
now.
I just have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
The scrolls that Joseph Smith translated that were in Egyptian hieroglyphics, and then they were later found and translated, you know, because no man on earth could translate them back then, but yet he did,
mm-hmm.
where he got the Pearl of Great Price.
Did many wonderful works in his name, didn't he?
Yeah. But I'm just wondering why they didn't make more of a big deal about that so the people in the church realized that, you know, it was all false.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of those, this particular scroll or manuscript you're talking about is supposedly an ancient Egyptian. Nobody knows what ancient Egyptian is. And now it's been found in many tombs as excavations took place and has nothing to do with the Book of Abraham.
All
this
right.
is a burial manuscript. There's
no,
something
I'm
that,
talking about the Pearl of Great Price.
That's what he's talking about,
yes.
Tina, because he's explaining where the Pearl of Great Price... you're talking about the same thing. He's just bringing the history into it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know there is a good DVD out there. It's called The Book of Abraham, and it was on VHS when I saw it, but it's very good. You can go to irr.org, and it talks about how they've discovered beyond a shadow of any doubt that the Book of Abraham that Joseph Smith supposedly translated is all fraud.
Right.
And it's very clear and it's very concise.
Again, that website?
IRR.org. They're the ones who produced it. You should be able to order it from that website. And you could probably go to utlm.org and order it from there as well.
And it's just the Book of Abraham?
The Lost Book of Abraham.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And for any of our viewers who are interested in seeking the truth,
yes,
I would highly recommend that DVD. It's a very good one. And it's all got the references and the footnotes and everything to back up what they're talking about. Okay, we have line three, Mike in Ogden. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, Doris. How are you doing? You guys today? I wanted to point out something that's in the Book of Mormon. And then I also wanted to tell you how close I came into joining and being baptized into that church and what happened in the baptismal interview. But the one thing is, they mentioned synagogues. Synagogues is mentioned in the Book of Mormon. Synagogues didn't even come into existence until Babylon. I mean, any Jewish scholar, or not even Jewish, but biblical scholar would say, when they didn't have a temple, that's when the synagogue system came into existence. So, but Joseph Smith didn't know that.
No.
So, you know, that right there is something that's just out of place. He's taken something that came into existence.
And there's a lot of internal evidence like that proves the Book of Mormon is a 19th century product.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, okay. And then the other thing is, I came, like, this was probably 5 or 6 years ago, and the missionaries were coming over to the apartment. It gave me this really good, all this burning in the bosom, I guess you will. As they say, you know, not the book itself, but just the fraternity of people, you know, at the church. So I came so close, they said, okay, we're going to give you the baptismal interview. And they pulled in, I think it was a zone leader, missionary. And they sat down with me for about a half hour. They gave me a copy of the baptismal interview, and they had a copy themselves. And they went through these questions. And it's so funny in retrospect how naive I was. And then at night they said, we'll pray about it. And, you know, and you pray about it, Michael talking to me. And then tomorrow, you know, well, the next day I called them and I said, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be baptized. I changed my mind. But in that baptismal interview, I kept my copy so I could tell people if they ever ask in the church. And I've told people some of the questions because they didn't believe me. They ask you questions like, and remember on the day of Pentecost, first off, in the New Testament, they didn't ask any questions. They just said, repent and believe.
That's so true. Good point.
They asked me, Joyce, they asked me, which I'm not, but still they asked me, the funny thing is, they didn't ask me one single question about Christ. They didn't ask. They said, do you believe Joseph Smith was a prophet? Do you believe the current president? I don't even want to call him a prophet. I just say president. Do you believe the current leader of the LDS Church is a prophet? And I said, well, if you mean a prophet, a link between man and God. And I was like, yeah. I kind of fell into it. But then they said things like, have you ever committed a homosexual act? Have you ever been on parole or probation? Things like this. And I'm like, you know, that night, that just gave me a really weird feeling. Even though I hadn't been on parole or I hadn't committed a homosexual act, I was like, this doesn't jive with the Bible. So I kept that copy, and now when I tell people in the church about it, you know, if I meet someone...
That is a problem with the made religion there, Mike, because they're making one sin greater than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
People are sinners. All of us are sinners, the Scripture says. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Whether homosexual or thieves or whatever, you are all sinners, and we all need the Savior. And by focusing on one sin as if it's more gruesome than the others is to separate people from Christ by wrong thinking.
And it also negates the repent and be baptized, because if you repent, all the sins that you've done anyway are plumb washed away by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood.
And you know, this is the thing, and then I'll hang up, but this is the thing that really blew me away, is that in that baptismal interview, of all those questions, never one time did they ask me, do you believe that Jesus Christ, you know, was the Son of the living God, and you can be saved through his blood and all this. It was always, do you believe Joseph Smith was a prophet? Do you believe?
Yeah.
And by this time, I had kind of been, I don't know, I guess say duped or bamboozled into believing all this stuff. But I'll get off and I'll let you.
Okay.
They never mentioned in that baptismal interview, on that list of papers that I've got, never once did they mention, do I believe, you know, in Christ. It's all Joseph Smith. So I'll get off and I'll let you talk.
Okay.
And the reason I'm mentioning it to you, Doris, is because I understand you were in a polygamous group, and but the LDS Church, I mean, they really have this baptismal interview sheet, and you get a copy of it. And back, I was one night away from making a big, my mother, a big no-no.
Yeah.
I'm good now. Keep up the good work. Happy holidays.
Thanks for calling. Good night.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, we have Alice calling from Richfield. Hello, Alice. Alice?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, you're on the air? Alice?
Yes.
You need to turn your television down, Alice.
That Lucifer, the devil, was an angel in heaven.
Now, what's your question?
Yes.
What is your question?
Do you agree that Lucifer was an angel in heaven?
Do I agree that Lucifer was an angel in heaven?
Yes, do you agree with that?
He was not called Lucifer. That word in Isaiah 14, it probably is called the Shining One. So,
called an angel, wasn't he?
He's an angel, yes. He's created, absolutely.
Well, why was he kicked out of heaven?
Because he said he wanted to. God says he found evil in him, and he wanted to ascend.
Yeah, he was evil. He wanted to come to earth and force the people.
No, he wanted to be like God.
Freedom, right?
No, Alice.
Mormon,
you got
teaching.
It wrong.
Read the Bible.
Read Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 38.
Yes, do that. And we are talking here about biblical truth, not some other stuff. We are not worried about
these. Well, is biblical truth.
It's not biblical. You can't find it in the Bible.
Heaven. He was
find it in the Bible, Alice, and then
the
call it fact.
He was a great angel, wasn't he?
Send us that information.
Yeah, Alice, call us back.
To the website. That's not in the Bible. You cannot find it.
It's not in the Bible,
yes,
Alice.
It is in the Bible.
It's not
if you read
in the Bible.
Enough, you'll find it.
Tell
it's
us
not
where.
In the Bible.
Ahead, I cannot tell you where it is.
Then
because
find
it doesn't exist.
But also, I want to say that God knows each and every one of us very well.
He does?
Yes.
You just said that he didn't.
No.
While back in your conversation.
We said that you don't have, and not everyone has intimacy with God. You don't have intimacy.
They don't have intimacy, but
yes.
He knows sinners and righteous people.
Yes, we agree with that.
He knows all about us.
Right.
Yes.
The point we were trying to make is the personal relationship that God requires for us to go
yes.
to heaven. And when Jesus says, I don't know you, he's saying, you never had a personal relationship with me. You thought I was Lucifer's brother. You didn't know who I was.
Yes.
And it says in John chapter 8 that if you don't believe I am who I say I
yes.
am, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come.
Oh, I believe that, but I still believe that he knows us all, whether it's a personal relation or not.
Well, he does know us all. That isn't the point, Alice. You missed it completely.
They were standing before Jesus when he's telling them, I never knew you. At least at that point, he should have known them, right? He knows everyone, but he doesn't have intimate relationship with every one of us. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God. So only those are the ones that he knows. Those who have the right to be called children of God. Not everyone.
And the word know.
I hope people will read in the Bible where Lucifer was a fallen angel, and he must have had a big position in heaven.
He did.
He must have committed a great sin.
Yes.
He did. He wanted to be like God.
He wants to be like God.
Along with the third of the host of heaven.
He wanted to be like God, Alice, and God said, no, you won't, and he kicked him out. And you know what? The early Mormon church leader said, you can become God. Which is the same lie that the serpent told Eve in the Garden of Eden, that you'll become gods, and so they ate the fruit and got kicked out of the garden, just like Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. Now tell me, why would the early Mormon leaders teach Mormons that they can become like God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might ask them why.
I have.
This is what we're talking about, truth. It matters.
God loves us all, and he has a long-term plan for
us. He does love us all, but he hates all of our sin. And so he died for all of our sin on the cross. Good night, Alice. She's gone. Okay, we have line two, Mike in Salt Lake. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you, Lord Doris?
Good, thank you.
I was a Mormon, and I didn't believe in the church. And I had children with a lady, and she was LDS, but we kind of went our way. So my children, you know, are kind of stuck in the middle, and my son calls me. He's born again, and so are my children. My daughter's born again, and so my grandchildren, some of them are born again, too. But, you know, he called me because they were talking about baptizing for the dead, you know. And it says, you know, it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:29, he says, why do you baptize for the dead if the dead don't rise anymore? He says, what are you guys doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they turn around and ask him, they try to put it on him, well, fine, you know, why shouldn't we baptize? Well, why should they baptize for the dead? Where does it say in the Bible that we're supposed to baptize for the dead? You know, and in Mark 12:20, it says, it talks about the seven brothers, you know, that all mm-hmm. married one woman, you know, and they say whose wife she's going to be in the resurrection and all this stuff. And he says, you got to be like the angels in heaven, not giving and taking in marriage. He says, you really greatly err. He says, what about Moses and the law? You know, and he says, and then even at the end of that verse, he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of the living, not of the dead. And these simplistic things that come out where they can't defend these things, what they do is either they change the subject or they try and make you prove something that isn't even written in there. So what they're trying to do is make usury and flip the script. It's called, in my culture, the old culture, that I, you know, that my heritage, I guess, you know, I'm a new creature, but in Christ, but they were called shapeshifters. What they would do is they would deceive by appearing as something they were not, or trying to change the subject, or put you, or put us, or an individual on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are biblical things. They're very simple.
Doesn't 2 Corinthians 11
talk about that? Book of Mormon, like you were talking about the papyrus, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's been interpreted. And it is, you know, an Egyptian verse, but it talks about preparation of the dead and preparation, you know, a lot of other stuff that's totally ridiculous. I did not believe, growing up in Utah, a lot of things that I heard about the mark of Cain being on the blacks, you know, and stuff like this. I thought it was just a bunch of, you know, until I start going to church, I said, start dealing with the Mormon church and getting involved in it. I said, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's something really wrong.
Yeah.
You know, these people believe about salvation by works. They believe in, they don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that atonement was in the garden, not on the cross, because...
And Mike, that's why we do the show, is so that we can express the biblical truths to our culture with love, contending for the truth, for the faith, like Pastor Dan mentioned earlier on in the show.
And that's great. You're doing a wonderful job.
We appreciate your phone call.
And you're going to be blessed because you are opening people's eyes. And you are contending for the faith, and you are preaching because you love these people.
Right.
And God knows
absolutely.
You love them, and you want them to come into truth and into salvation.
Absolutely.
I thank
you,
God,
Mike.
For you and people like you. God bless you.
Thanks for calling. Good night. Okay, we have Betty calling on line 3. Hello, Betty. And I think Betty's got her
TV
turn her TV down. Betty? Hello? One more chance,
hello?
Betty. Okay, is your TV turned down?
Yes.
Okay, what's your question? You're on the air.
Well, I have two things. One of them is that most of the Mormon people that I have met, I'm from another state, and most of the Mormon people that I have met that are in the church and those who have come out of the church do not believe that Joseph Smith was a polygamist. And I was wondering, where is that information? And also, I wanted to know if you could explain the difference, or make it easy to explain the difference between Christ in us, as the Bible says, that he comes to dwell in us, and the difference between being God.
Okay. We will have to make this real quick because we're winding down on time here. First of all, there are plenty of places on the webs on the web that you can find all the information about Joseph Smith's polygamous wives. You can buy a book called In Sacred Loneliness, written by a Mormon, talks about 34 of his wives. Another book called Nauvoo Polygamy by George D. Smith, and it documents all the documents of his wives. So those are good places to start. Mm-hmm. And Christ in Us, let's see, we've got 20 seconds. Christ in Us as opposed to being God. That doesn't make us God.
It doesn't make us God. It makes us children of God. But it doesn't make us God. God is always God. He'll always be God, and we'll always be His servants, His children, serving under Him, both here and in heaven. But we will never be like God. We'll never be God ourselves. That was a lie of the devil in the garden, and it's also something that other people are teaching, which is wrong. And it matters because people will die believing that stuff.
Right. Okay, Betty, thank you for your call. We got to close the show now. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay, Dan, thanks so much for coming and sharing with us tonight. And I'd like to close the show tonight by talking about the Holy Scriptures. We talk about it all the time, and the word scriptures is a Latin word meaning writings, and the word holy is a word that means wholeness or lacking nothing, and that from the first word to the last word of the Bible, it is God's revelation to complete revelation to us, and it lacks nothing. In Genesis chapter 3, the first lie that was told was by Satan. It says, "Hath God said?" And it was specially designed to throw doubt on what God had said. That same doubt in God's word contaminates the world today, especially in this culture. And those who continue to cast doubt on the Bible are guilty of perpetrating that first lie of Satan. Now, I want to ask you, is God so miserably weak and incompetent and unreliable that 1,800 years after Christ, He had to send a 14-year-old boy to restore what He Himself couldn't secure? If 1,000 years are like a day unto the Lord, it took less than 2 days for Him to break His promise that His word would endure forever. This is impossible. It's ludicrous. It's preposterous. Do you realize that from that genuine faith, trust God from beginning to end and everything in between, and God cannot be separated from His word? How genuine is your faith? Let's not forget the reason for the season. The baby in the manger is the Savior on the cross who died for our sins. Accept His gift this season.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org. Or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again. Mm-hmm.